He is the only one who can satisfy our souls, the Lord Jesus. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn it with me to John 14. John 14, as our children are exiting the building. John 14. I don't know how many of you have ever been scuba diving. Anybody ever been scuba diving? I've never had the experience of doing that, but I'm not talking about snorkeling, okay? I've been snorkeling before, but I'm talking about scuba diving. I'm talking about you going down deep, right? And whenever you go down into the waters like that, you're not quite prepared for that, are you? You need some equipment to go with you as you go deeper and deeper, right? And you got the mask and maybe you wear gloves or something, but probably the most important part of your equipment is the oxygen tank, right? Because when you're going down into that environment of the deep waters, you don't have any oxygen to breathe. Now, the fish do. They do just great. They don't need oxygen tanks, right? But we do. We need that because we're going into an environment that really we're not prepared to take a hold of. If we go down, it's not going to take you very long. You're going to be coming back up and gasping for air, right? And so there's certain equipment that we need in order to do that. Why? Because we're in a different world than what we normally would be. Here, we don't need oxygen tanks. We're here. We breathe the air that's made for us. But underwater, that's not made for you. That's not made for you to live in and to breathe in. Therefore, you need something extra, and you have to stay connected to that something extra in order to live, right? You take that mouthpiece out of your mouth and you stop breathing in oxygen, what's going to happen eventually? Yeah, not good. You're going to drown. Something's going to happen. You're going to be kicking your feet towards the surface. So that is there to connect you with that that you're living or you're where you're at down below the water. But that connection is that oxygen tank. That oxygen tank that keeps you alive, all right? This is what the Holy Spirit is. He is our oxygen tank, if you will, in a world that we don't belong in. We are pilgrims just passing through, amen? This world is not our home. And while we're in this world, however, we need something, we need someone to help us live in this world that is just engulfed in sin and destruction and chaos. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to live in this world. Remember last week we talked about we need the resurrection of Jesus. Without it, we're doomed. We're lost. Well, in order to live in this present world, we need the Holy Spirit. The title of my message today is simply Another Helper. Another Helper. And as we look at our passage today in John chapter number 14, you'll see that here in a few moments. Before we get to that, however, let me tell you first of all what the Holy Spirit is not. All right, let me tell you what he is not. The Holy Spirit is not some mystical power, you know, some mystical, ooh, that's the way a lot of people look at the Holy Spirit. Some kind of Star Wars use the force kind of thing, right? This poltergeist, this Twilight Zone, some mystical power, that is not who the Holy Spirit is. He's also not the lesser part of the Trinity. You know, some people, we treat sometimes the Holy Spirit like he's the one who has to sit in the middle of the back seat. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We had three sons, all right? Our three sons, when we had vans later in our vehicles, but we started out with sedans, all right? Four-door sedan, right? And nobody wanted to sit in the middle. You don't want to sit on that hump. You don't want to sit where you got two brothers on either side messing with you, you know? You want to sit near the window. You want to be on the outside. And sometimes we kind of treat the Holy Spirit like he's that third wheel. You know, like he's that last piece of bread in the loaf of bread that nobody wants, but we know we ought to eat it or else we feel guilty and we waste money because we don't toast it and eat it or whatever, right? But sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit gets, but he is not that. He is not the lesser part of the Trinity. He is not an impersonal force. He's someone who wants to be personal with us. He is a person in is not a person in bodily form, but rather a person in spirit form. John 4:24 says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity, a person of the Godhead. Father, Son, and who? Holy Spirit. He is equal in every way to God the Father and God the Son. There is no drop-off. Well, you're just the Holy Spirit. There's a drop-off. No, not at all. He is equal in every way with the Father and the Son. He's the perfect substitute for Jesus, which we'll get to that here in a few moments because that ties directly into him being another helper. And he's actively indwelling all believers. Today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me ask you a question. You can just let me know by a good amen. How many of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Say amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit indwells you if you know Christ as your Savior. He is living within you. At the very instantaneous moment that you believed in Jesus Christ, believed that he was the Savior of your soul, the one that was going to take you to heaven and forgive you of your sins, and the one that died on the cross and took your place and then rose from the dead so that you could have new life, the very moment you accepted Christ your Savior, the Holy Spirit said, right into your life. And he indwells you today. Let's stand together as we look at John 14. Just quickly, we're going to read just a few verses, not the entire passage. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. John 14, verses 16 through 19. Jesus here is speaking. Now remember, this is literally hours before he's going to the cross, okay? And the disciples are kind of concerned. And he started out chapter 14 with, "Let not your heart be troubled." Hey guys, don't worry. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Remember that passage, okay? He starts out with that because he sees that they're troubled. He sees that they're worried. He sees that there's concern. So then he gets to verse number 14, and he says, verse number 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you," underline this, "another helper." Everybody say another helper. Another helper's coming, okay? "That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no longer. But you will see me because I live and you will live also." Thank you so much. You may be seated. Father, bless your word as it's taught and preached and as it's been read. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. John 14, another helper. Another helper. This word, this phrase, another helper, I want to focus on that for a few moments here as we get to our first thoughts as we get into this. Who is this Holy Spirit? What does he do? What are the things that he, how does he help us? And first thing I want us to see in this is that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He is a person. Now, not what we think of as a person, but this another helper, this person. When Jesus says another helper, you need to understand exactly what that means. First of all, the word helper has been translated many different ways depending on the context of a passage. Here it's translated helper. In 1 John, it's translated advocate. In other passages, it's translated counselor or comforter, all right? It's the Greek word parakletos. It's two words, all right? Ready? You ready? All right, you're going to learn today. You ready, class? All right, here we go. Para means alongside, okay? All right? I am alongside of this pulpit right now, right here next to it, okay? Para, all right? Kletos, which means to call, comes from the word kaleo, which is really easy if you're taking a Greek class. Kaleo. What does kaleo mean? To call. That's pretty easy to remember, isn't it? Kaleo. All right. So he called alongside. Called alongside. But it's not just that. The word another there is another word. All right. And there are actually two words in the Greek New Testament that both mean and are translated another. One is this one here, which means another of the same kind. And there's another word that means another of a different kind. Okay? The word here is the another of a same kind. So when you get right down to it, Jesus is saying, guys, let not your heart be troubled, verse number one, and I'm going to send you another helper. In other words, I'm sending someone that's going to be called alongside of you that is just like me. All right? There's no drop off here. I'm sending someone else. This another helper is someone who's going to come alongside of you who is the exact representation of Jesus. The difference is Jesus was in the form of flesh and lived on the outside. This one's going to be in the form of spirit, and he's going to live on the inside, all right? But he's just like me. See, a lot of times when we think of Jesus, we think of Jesus in bodily form. Jesus didn't always have a fleshly body like what we have. He didn't have that until he was born, until he was conceived, until he was in Mary's womb, right? He never had that. Before that, he was spirit. When Philippians chapter 2 tells us that when he left heaven to come down here, he took on flesh. He put on the flesh suit, if you will. He became in the likeness of men. So when we think of Jesus, we normally think of Jesus that has the scars and his hands and his feet and all that. And he does have that now as he sits at the right hand of the Father. But his body is glorified now. But before that, he did not have that. He was spirit. Why? Because God is spirit, John 4:24. Okay? So Jesus was with these disciples, with these apostles, on the outside teaching them, leading them. But now he's going to bring in another helper to live on the inside, to live in their life, to help them. First, I want us to see that the Holy Spirit is a person. A lot of people would refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He is not an it. He is a person. If you look at verse number 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, okay, and another, like me, person, in a sense, just like me, all right, that he, there you go, not an it, he may abide with you forever. Verse number 17, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Look at verse number 18. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. What when someone's coming and they become the parent, say a man becomes a parent of an orphan, that parent becomes that orphan's father, right? They've adopted, they've taken on that orphan. So he's going to be like a father. That sounds like a person to me. How about you? Okay? Keep reading. If you go all the way down to verse number 26 of this passage. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, there it is again, he's a person, will teach you, and that a person could teach, right? A person teaches all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. You see, as a person, the Holy Spirit has those qualities, those attributes. He possesses those attributes of personhood or personality. Those things like emotions, will, intellect. You see, this goes contrary to the doctrinal teachings of the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, Christian Science. See, they believe that the Holy Spirit is just this force that's out there. All right, and that force is very impersonable, and he influences your life, but that's pretty much all that he does. By the way, those three, they're cults, okay? Let me just go ahead and let's call them what they are, cults. Why? Because they all deny the deity of Jesus. Understand this. I hope y'all stay here until the Lord takes you home, but if you ever go to another church or another denomination or something, listen to me very carefully. If they do not teach that Jesus Christ is God, if they do not teach the deity of Jesus Christ, they are a cult. Get out of there. Amen? Get out. I'm telling you. And that's what these people teach. And they have this theology concerning the Holy Spirit also. They just simply believe that he is the only influence on people's lives and therefore deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe in the personality of the Holy Spirit. He has intellect. He has knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. What does that tell you? He's got intellect. He's smart. He has a mind. Romans 8, chapter 8:27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows, mind, what the mind of the Spirit is. God searches the hearts, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. That sounds like a person to me. How about you? Person that has a mind. He has emotions. You know this verse, Ephesians 4:30. What are you commanded not to do in Ephesians 4:30? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That tells us, you ever had anybody grieve you before? Kind of hurts, doesn't it? Somebody says something and you know it's not true. I remember one time I was out here, this was several years ago, and there was a parent here that had several children here, and she caught me back here, and she absolutely laid into me. She told me off one side and down the other, And I stood there and I took it like a man. You know, what are you going to do? And I just let her go. And then after she got done, I'm telling you, like 60 seconds, she just let me have it. And then after she walked off, I'm just going, I have no idea what she's talking about. You know, and she was accusing me of something that I had nothing to do with whatsoever, but she just needed to unleash on me. And to be honest with you, even though I had nothing to do with it, it hurt. It hurt. And the next year, they did not return to our school. But I just thought, you know, well, that was the last conversation I had with that person. It was very one-sided. But I thought, that hurts. You know, often we hurt the Holy Spirit. What does that tell us? He's a person. He has emotions. We ought not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's a giver. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that in verse 11 that he gives these spiritual gifts to people. He gives direction in Acts chapter 16 verses 6 and 7 where he told Paul, don't go here, but go there. So you see, the Holy Spirit is a person, church. He is someone, not something. He is a he and a him, not an it. Now you may be asking, well, Pastor, how in the world does that apply to me? Really, how can I take that and use that? Here's how. Listen to this very carefully. Since you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and since he is a person and he has will and intellect and emotion, and since he has all those things that we would call personality, that means, listen, he's very intimately involved in your life. He is very active. I spoke of the who the Holy Spirit is, someone who's actively involved. The Spirit of God is actively involved in your life. The question, you know, some people say, well, how much of the Holy Spirit do I got? Listen, you got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. The question is not how much of the Holy Spirit you got. The question is, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? There lies the difference. If he's got all of us, then God's doing incredible things in our lives. And we're living for King Jesus and we're loving it. If he doesn't have all of our lives, you're miserable. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been there? You're fighting God. You're wrestling with God. You know you're not right with the Lord. It's not fun, is it? There's something about wrestling with God. You know what that something is? God always wins. Y'all ever figure that out? It's never fun wrestling with God because he always wins. But this Holy Spirit is a real person. He wants to be and is involved in every aspect of our lives. He knows you better than you know you. He knows your needs. He knows your hurts. He knows your heartaches. He understands the circumstances beyond your understanding. He knows your family situation, your job situation, your marriage situation. Well, here we go. He knows how great or little your spiritual commitment is. Amen? Yeah, we don't like that, do we? We don't like to talk about that. We like to talk about the murderers and the thieves and all those guys, how evil they are. I got news for you. In many ways, we're in the same boat. If we're not living for the Lord. Turn with me to Galatians 4:6 real quick. Galatians 4:6. We're going to look at several verses here this morning. Hope you got your Bibles. If you don't, there might be one in the seat right in front of you or around you. Some of you use your phone. Go ahead. I hear those phone pages flipping. Go ahead. Galatians 4:6. Remember the first time I saw that on somebody's phone, I thought that was the coolest thing. They were just sitting there flipping through. I'm like, man, that is so cool. Little did I know it had been out like for like 5 or 6 or 7 years. I had no idea. I had one of those phones that just did nothing but make phone calls. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, son of God, children of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You ever gotten to the point in your life where things are just going so awry and they're so messed up that you're crying out, Abba, Father? Abba means papa. It means daddy. A very intense Aramaic phrase. Papa, daddy, you're just, daddy, you know? Guess who's crying it out here for you? The Holy Spirit. We can not only cry out, Abba, Father, but the Spirit cries out for us. Abba. You see, he's intimately involved in your life. He desires to help you, to serve you, to bless you. The Holy Spirit is a person. Secondly, understand that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He's not some mystical force again. He is God. He is deity. Going back to that idea of in verse number 16 of Jesus says, I will send another helper, another. Someone, Jesus said, I'm sending somebody just like me. Okay? He is God. And write this verse down. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 3. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira, remember when all the church was selling everything and they were giving their money back to the church and said, hey, we want evangelism to go forward. We want the church to be built. We're trying to serve the Lord by selling all of our possessions. And remember Ananias and Sapphira? They sold a bunch of their stuff, but they withheld some of the money. They put some in their bank account. And then they gave some to the Apostle Peter and said, here, we've sold it all, and here's all the money. And made everybody think that they were given a whole lot of money. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? What happened? God killed them. On the spot, God killed them. And whenever God did that, Peter told Ananias, you have lied to the Holy Spirit, you have lied to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God, you see? He's God. He's eternal. Verse 16, he says that he will abide with you forever. Isn't that an aspect of God? He is eternal. There is no beginning or ending with him. He is forever. Going back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we find the Spirit hovering over the waters. Why? Because the Spirit was there. Why was he there? Because he's eternal. He's God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. And in other words, the Holy Spirit is God. Why? Because he is eternal. Not only is he eternal, he's omnipresent and omniscient. He's omnipresent and omniscient. You see there in verse number 16 that he's going to abide how long? Forever, eternal. He's going to stay with you. He's with you. He's with you when you go to the store. He's with you when you go to bed. He's with you when you take a shower. He's with you whenever you go down to the park. He's with you when you're taking a walk around the block. He's with you in church today. He abides with you and dwells in you forever. He's omnipresent. Isn't that something to think about? God is with every believer over this entire planet. Now, we got like 7.5 billion people on the planet. Is that about right? Something like that? 7.5 billion people. And there are all kinds of different estimates. Some people say 4 million, call themselves Christians. Some say 5 billion, whatever the number is. But can you just imagine that? All of them have all of God. That's right? How can you? We can't wrap our minds around that. He's omnipresent and omniscient. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He knows you. He dwells with you. He abides with you forever wherever you go. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Well, how in the world can you know the things of God, and not just the things of God, but the deep things of God, unless you are God? He's eternal. He's omnipresent. He's truth. Verse 17, we see that he's called, referred to here as Spirit of Truth. And I already mentioned 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Spirit of Truth reveals the deep things of God. If you'll flip the page over to John 16:13, just flip your Bible page over a page or two. 16:13. He's eternal, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he is truth. John 16, verse 13. However, when he... The Spirit of who? What? What does it say? Truth. There it is, right there. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. Wait a minute. Who else was doing that when they were here on earth? In fact, who else claimed that he was truth? You can talk to me, it's okay. Who made that claim? Jesus himself. In fact, remember Jesus standing before Pilate? And Pilate with that wonderful question, what is truth? Little did he know, truth itself was standing right before him. Jesus. And in this case, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. What does that tell us? It tells us that the Holy Spirit, listen to this now, listen. Since he is truth, and since he is omnipresent and omniscient, and since he is eternal, this tells us that the Holy Spirit has absolute authority over your life and mine. Amen? Absolute authority. Not a little authority. Not authority where we want him to have authority, absolute authority. What is absolute authority? What does that encompass? Everything. Every aspect of your life, your thoughts, your what, where you go, what you do, what you say, what you eat, what you have, everything. The Holy Spirit has absolute authority over all of it. The Holy Spirit is God. He's eternal, he's omnipresent and omniscient, he is truth, and fourthly, he is equated with the Father and the Son. He is equated with the Father and the Son. Look at verse 17 again. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, watch this now, for he dwells in you, he dwells with you and will be in you. Well, all this time, who's been dwelling with them? Jesus, right? Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. Jesus has been dwelling with them, and then Jesus says, the one dwelling with you will eventually dwell within you. The Holy Spirit is being equated, equal with Jesus. Look at verse number 20. At that day, what day? Going back to verse number 16, that day when the Helper comes. At that day, you will know that, watch this now, watch, they're all together. I, Jesus, I am in the Father, disciples, you in me, and I will be in. Do you see that? Jesus is saying, just as I am in the Father, I'm also with you, I'm in you, and you in me. We're all together in this. He is equating the Holy Spirit with God the Father and God the Son. Look at verse number 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, who is we? All of them, all three. We will come to him and make our home with him. He's speaking of the Father, Son, and the Spirit of God. They're all together. Turn with me. Hold your finger there. Go to Romans chapter 8 with me, please. Romans 8. Romans 8, 8 through 11. The Holy Spirit is God. Romans 8, 8 through 11. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're saved, you're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, wait a minute, I thought he was called the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Christ. He is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. How? Through his who? Spirit who dwells in you. You got the Father, Son, and the Spirit all there together. One is equal to the other. This is why throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, you find the Holy Spirit referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8, 9, the Spirit of Jesus in Acts 16, 17, the Spirit of the Lord in Luke 14, 8, one Spirit, Ephesians 4, 4, eternal Spirit, Hebrews 9, 14, the Spirit of life, Romans 8, 2. What's the point? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is who? God. He's God. He's our representative while we're in this world. Do you know him? Does he dwell within you? Is your heart's desire to know God and know Christ and to be saved and know that you're saved? If so, there's evidence there that the Holy Spirit lives within you. Let me just clarify something really quickly. Listen, and I tell our students this whenever I have the opportunity to preach to them in chapel. You need to understand something. If you have no desire, you're in church today, maybe just here in church for happenstance, maybe just because somebody made you come or whatever. But if you have no desire to live for God, you have no desire to get into that book, you have no desire to pray, you really could care less about Christianity, you're just here to get a good feeling, a good fuzzy warm feeling, let me tell you something, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have him. And if you don't have him, you ain't going to heaven. I'm just telling you right now. There's got to be evidence. There's got to be evidence. Because when Jesus saves somebody, Jesus changes somebody. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in this body. Perfect? Absolutely not. Amen? We are not.
but we're just getting started. And he's still working on us. And he will complete that work in the day of redemption when we finally meet with him. But understand, the Holy Spirit, he is a person, and he is God. Amen? Thirdly and finally, as we wind this thing up, the Holy Spirit, this is such a simple thought, but profound. The Holy Spirit is here to help me. Y'all understand that? He's not just an impersonal force that's just in you, it's going to take you to heaven. He's here to help you. He's here to serve you. He's here to bless you. He's here to teach you. Look at verses 18 and 20 back in John 14. Oh, this is great. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. What does that mean? It means I'm going to become part of the family. He's here to help me. He makes me part of the family. Verse number 20. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. In other words, we are all here to help. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we don't have time to look at it, but in Romans 8, 14, we are spoken of as sons. We're spoken of as adopted. We're spoken of as children of God, and not just children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? In other words, everything Jesus has to offer is yours. I was thinking about that the other day as I was, okay, this is going to sound really morbid, all right? You ever contemplate death? And what I'm going to leave for my kids, you know? And I got to thinking the other day, what am I going to leave for my kids? Got a lot of doctor's bills. I got a mortgage and I got a car payment. Other than that, there's not a whole lot. There's not much in savings. There's not a whole lot there in retirement. Houston, we have a problem, amen? So if I'm thinking Evan would ask me, Dad, what you going to leave us? Well, a stack of bills about that high, amen? It ain't a stack of cash. But as children of God, we're not just children. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Everything that he has is ours because we're part of the family. And because we're part of the family, folks, listen, church, we need to act like we're part of the family. Amen? I got a little calendar in my office. I got several little calendars. I forget who gave this to me. Maybe the person that gave this to me is in here. I don't know. It's called Quiet Strength, Tony Dungy. I know you can't really see that. But sometimes it's verses that he has written on the date, and sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it has to do with football, usually, where it's things that he tells his players. And on April 26th, this was up there a couple days ago, it said, be a pro, act like a champion. There was one several days earlier that said, act like a champion even if you lose. Act like a champion. We would do well for that in Christianity, amen? Act like Christians. That's one of the problems in today's world. Believers aren't acting like real believers because we're angry and we're selfish and we're self-centered and we want this and we want that. We want to argue about everything rather than sharing the love of Christ. We want to be about loving God and loving people, you know. Loving God. Love people. But how often does that come out in our lives? We're part of the family. He makes me part of the family. He's here to help me. He brings resurrection life within me in verse number 19. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Guys, everybody else isn't going to see me again, but you will. Why? Because I live. Everybody say, Jesus lives. He does. And you will see him one day. And I look forward to that day when I see him face to face. He says, because I live, you will live also. Because I have the Holy Spirit within me, he's here to help me by giving me new life, resurrection life. This tells me here, this teaches me that God cares about our bodies. Because one day, he's going to resurrect these bodies. He cares about these bodies because he chose these bodies for the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So he cares about us from a physical perspective. He cares about these bodies. And the Spirit's presence in our bodies provides strength and courage. I'll tell you, one of my most memorable moments of when I knew the Holy Spirit took over was this. And I may have told this before, so bear with me. Maybe you have or have not heard this. But one of the days that I remember where it was, this was God, all right? There was no doubt about it. was at my father's funeral. We got to Montgomery. We're going to have my dad's funeral, and we were there for, I don't know, 3-4 days, whatever it was. And my brothers and sisters, my mom, we were always saying, okay, who's going to give the eulogy? Who's going to talk? Who's going to share? Rhonda, you want to say something? I ain't saying anything. My sister's she's a basket case anyway, bless her heart. She's just all over the place. I love her to death. But she would have, it'd have been a mess if she'd gotten up there. I asked my brother Keith, come on, man. You going to get up there and say something about Dad? He looked at me and says, you're the preacher. And, of course, Mama said she wasn't going to say a thing. I said, well, I guess it's on me then. I got to be honest with you, man. I was nervous. I was scared. My father passed away. The emotions are just... And when it came my turn in the service, I had about, I don't know, I guess I took about 10 or 12 minutes. When my turn came, I don't know what happened. Actually, I do know. I know exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit took over. Because I just knew in my heart I was going to get up there and cry and blubber and all this stuff, you know. But I got up there with, I can't explain it. There was an energy, a joy, talking about my dad and how I was going to miss him. Talking about all the things that we did together. And talking about him being in heaven and giving the gospel. And there was just a that I had. And when I got done, I sat down, and all I could think of was, where did that come from? Well, I know exactly where that came from. Holy Spirit took over. Why? Because he indwells me, he cares about me, he loves me, and he's helping me. Now, when we got out to the graveside and Taps started playing, okay, I lost it there, I must admit. I bawled like a baby. I did. Once they started playing that bugle and they did that they got those guns out there for the 21-gun salute or whatever, okay, all bets are off there. I lost it. But for that brief moment where I was able to share the gospel and share my father's life and how I knew that my daddy was saved and I'm going to see him again one day, the Holy Spirit says, I got this. I'm telling you, he does. He works. He's intimately involved in our lives. He's there to help us. He's there to teach us in verse number 26. Back in John 14, verse 26, he's there to teach us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Remember the verses I read before? How he searches the deep things of God? He will teach us these things. He will teach us. He'll teach you as you read the Word of God. He'll teach you as you live your life. He'll teach you as you pray. He'll teach you as you meditate upon Scripture. There's just some things that you'll learn that the Holy Spirit will teach you. And the thing is, you've got to be willing to sit down and be still. You know, Scripture says in Psalms, be still and what? Know that I'm God. Be still and know. Everybody say no. K-N-O-W. Everybody say no. Be still and know that I am God. We kind of just glance over that. But when you really know God, when you're still and you allow the Holy Spirit to come and work and to teach and to show and to point out and to develop. And lastly, he reminds me. Verse 26 says the same thing. He'll bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. He'll remind you that everything that Jesus said. He'll remind you. If you're truly given over to the Holy Spirit, he'll remind you what you learned in Faith Builders. He'll bring to mind a verse that came up in church. Young people in Christian school, he'll remind you of a verse that you learned in Bible class. If you're totally given over to him, the Holy Spirit does those kinds of things. There are times I'll talk to people about the Lord, and they'll ask me a question, and a verse, I can't remember the reference, but a portion of a verse will just pop in my head, and I'm thinking, where in the world did that come from? I know exactly where that came from. It came from who? The Holy Spirit. Why? He's there to help. He's there to remind. He's there to remind you what you were and what you can be. I know the big thing over the past couple of days has been the NFL draft. And there was a young man that was drafted. And some of these, they'll tell the stories about everybody that's drafted first. And then they get into some of the other draft picks. And maybe some of them have really special stories. There's one young man. His name is Deshaun Davis. And Deshaun was told, he was kicked out of middle school. He got involved in an altercation, and he was kicked out of a magnet middle school. Bright kid, but he got kicked out because he got in the middle of this. And in his story, he tells about how his middle school teacher, where all this stuff took place, this one middle school teacher told him, "You will never amount to anything. You will never be able to do anything. In fact, you before 18, you'll either be dead or in jail." Okay, first of all, that teacher ought to be fired. Right? But that young man used that as motivation. And God turned his life around. And then they went on to tell him, and when he finally made it to high school, "You're too small to play football." He's only 5'11". He's not 6 foot. And he played linebacker. And they told him, "When you go to college, you're not going to be able to play linebacker in college." He played linebacker in college. Was an all-conference player. And then he gets drafted in the NFL draft. He allowed those things that were in his past to remind him so that it would motivate him to do whatever he could do. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this young man is a Christian. I've heard a little bit of his testimony before. But the point is this. When you look back at what you could have been and should have been, and then the grace of God swoops in. I can tell you now, I shouldn't be here today. Mm-mm. But the grace of God didn't see it that way. Do you appreciate the Spirit of God? Do you appreciate God? Do you love God? Do you thank God for His Holy Spirit indwelling you? Let me give you a couple of points of application that we're done. I know we're running a little bit long, but let me quickly go through these. And they're not going to be up on the screen, but let me give it to you. Number one is this: daily recognize and respond to God's presence. Why? Because God is alive in you. Daily recognize and respond to it. Don't go, "Okay, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Please bless my day, bless my kids as I go out the door. Amen." Any show of hands, who's guilty of that? Instead, "Holy Spirit, you indwell me. This morning, my prayer time, Holy Spirit, I know you indwell me, but fill me. Forgive me this, forgive me of that." And I went through my list. Sorry, I'm not going to share them with you. "Now, Lord, fill me. Help me. Encourage me. Strengthen me. May this day be for you, Holy Spirit." And engage the Holy Spirit in your personal time with God. Recognize and respond to His presence. Begin each day with this filling. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit of God. That's a command. Begin each day with the filling of God. Thirdly, obey His prompting. It may lead you to bless someone. It may lead you to pray with someone. It may lead you to do something for someone. It may lead you to share an experience or a kind word or a gentle embrace or a hug or a handshake or an attaboy. It might even prove to share a rebuke with someone. But if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit that lives within you, please obey His prompting, because if you're in tune with Him, you'll sense the prompting. And fourthly, be quiet before Him, and sometimes just listen. Just be quiet before Him. "Holy Spirit, speak to me." You're God. You're God. Speak to me. Show me. Help me. Let's pray this morning as we bow our heads, we close our eyes, we go to the Lord in prayer. I thank you for your attention. You know, sometimes, like I said, the Holy Spirit gets the back seat. He gets that middle seat. We don't think of Him like we think of Jesus and we think of the Father. But He is just as important and just as powerful and just as omnipresent and omniscient as the Father and the Son. The question is, how do we respond to Him in our lives? Before we go any further, I must ask this question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you know that you know you've asked Jesus to come into your life and save you? If you do, then the Holy Spirit dwells within you. If not, then you do not have the Holy Spirit. You do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you still need the Spirit of Christ, and you need the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins. Would you call out to Him this morning? Would you right now, at the quietness of this moment, just call out? The Holy Spirit would be speaking to you right now. He's here. And He may be speaking to you right now and saying, "You know that you haven't been saved, you know that you haven't put your faith and trust in me. Would you right now call out to him? Just say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I don't deserve to go to heaven. But Father, your Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And right now, as best I know how, I want to respond. Father, I want you to know that I believe in Jesus. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe that he was crucified for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. And Father, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to me to receive Jesus, I want to do that right now. So as best I know how, I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking Jesus into my life. I turn from myself, I turn from my sin, and I turn to you. Would you do that? If you did, and you do, it was from the heart, I want you to know that God has saved you. You are now an adopted child of God. Not just a child, but an heir and a joint heir. Believers, how do we respond to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Do we even think about him on a daily basis? He thinks about you because he indwells you. Father, help us during this invitation time to be totally given over to your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name.